Welcome everyone to the third podcast of the Movie Blogs Correct Opinion Uncut podcast right here on themovieblog.com. I am your host, Jim. Joining me today is Ryan.
How are you doing, guys?
Ryan, good to have you on again. We're not joined by Anthony this week, so it's going to be me and you, like the first episode. Ready for it?
I'm ready.
Good. So, first topic, obviously this weekend's box office big movies are coming out are Fury and The Birdman. Now, we've seen Fury, both of us, already. I screened it last week, you just screened it this week. What are your immediate thoughts on the film, since you just seen it?
Well, it falls into a very popular genre, which is the World War II-esque war genre. Mm-hmm. But I really liked it. The thing I liked about it is I think it has great entertainment value where it just dives right into the action, gets you going. There's not a lot of character development, so you might miss out on that from some films like Saving Private Ryan, which had a lot of that. But overall, I really enjoyed it. A lot of great action sequences, really well shot.
I love the film, too. I wrote the review on it. I think it actually posted right now. You can go and read that. But I loved the film. I thought it was one of the better World War II movies in a long time. I think, you know, obviously Brad Pitt's coming off Inglourious Basterds, so that's kind of a similar genre. But I think this movie's right up there with Lone Survivor and, Inglourious Basterds, and even dating back to films like Saving Private Ryan. I think what really set it apart for me and what I appreciate about the film is that the realism of it. It's not a movie for everyone, for sure, because it's so gruesome and grotesque and violent, but it is very realistic. You know, like you saw the parts and, you know, people's faces even planted on the tanks and stuff, residue of their limbs and stuff. But I felt that was really what happened in those times. And I really kind of appreciated the realism that the film, the darkness and the grittiness that it brought.
Yeah, there's a lot of brutal nature to it. I got to ask, did you notice the one thing that I noticed was the gun sequences? They were really reminiscent to almost Star Wars. It was like a first.
The laser show? Laser show, as I called it. Yeah. That was one thing that I immediately noticed. I haven't seen that in other movies. Like when they were shooting the scene, I don't know if it was maybe because it was taking place at night and they kind of wanted to visually show you the artillery going off and all the shots going off. But it was like a laser show. It felt Star Wars-like. I'm not sure if I liked it or I didn't like it.
Yeah,
it
was the exact same way.
It was different, but it also kind of made it seem cool in a way because you got to see exactly where these shots were firing at, but also made it seem too sci-fi and it was completely against what the genre is.
I totally agree. I feel like it was, I couldn't tell if it was a distraction or if it was something I liked. I think they put it in there to distinguish the opposing sides, and it was a really cool effect, but it did, you're right, it seemed a little out of place at times.
It was like a lightsaber, you know, like lightsaber shots in a way. Yeah. That's how it looked like it. And it kind of lit up the screen in a way, too. But it's interesting. It's a bold choice, I think. And I mean, I'm not going to hold it against the movie one way or the other, but it was definitely something to take notice. Also, you know, I don't know if you got it this way. For me, the star of the film or the breakout person that was in this film was Logan Lerman. I thought he was outstanding. I really thought this kid stole the film in a way. And I know they kind of focused it on him too from his point of view, but I thought he was outstanding.
I thought he did really well as well. It just, I might be the enemy of the state here when I say who my pick is, but I like Shia LaBeouf.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
You know what? I finally think this is obviously such a different part than him being in Transformers, which is what he's known for mostly. But this showed his range as an actor in a way. He didn't have a big part. He played a kind of a small supporting part in a way. He didn't have many dialogue scenes, but he was very, he had a character, obviously, and he stuck to it.
Yeah, I mean, he was, he had probably, I think, the most range out of everybody. I did like Logan Lerman. I just, and, you know, I liked them all. I even liked John Barenthal. It was, like, he played that same gritty character that we had from Walking Dead. But, yeah, just LaBeouf stood out for me, even though he's had caught some crap in the media. Like, I, as an actor, I thought he did great.
Yeah, and I think first time I can put a movie next to him that he's finally almost accepted in the adult world, because he's always done like those, you know, those teenage type of films, like obviously like Transformers and you know, all his films he started out doing Disney, but this is kind of establishing him now, if he doesn't start going crazy in the media and in his personal life, as a legitimate actor, you know, as a serious kind of actor. I think he can do now drama in a good way, and I really appreciate that he wasn't the main focus of the film. He had a noticeable supporting role that stood out.
Yeah, I was really impressed.
Yeah, I thought he was good. And one thing about Michael Peña's character, did it feel stereotypical in a way to you? The way he was kind of had a little bit of like a ghetto vibe to him?
It really did. And
yeah,
I've got to say, it's really underutilizing Michael Peña. I think... I think a year ago, I predicted him as being just one of these big breakout stars based on talent alone. He was one of my favorites and still is one of my favorites, but he's so underutilized in film and they fit him into such a stereotypical role.
It did, and it didn't feel like natural. That's one thing about this film that I kind of found negative, was that, you know, we're talking about the 40s and he's playing a character who would fit in today, you know, if there's war in Iraq or wherever. So it just didn't feel natural. As all the other characters kind of blended into that environment, he felt like he wasn't fitting in with them. It just was, it was a forced character in a way.
And I really want to blame that on the scripting more than his acting.
Because, oh yeah, I think he's a fine actor himself. Yeah, no,
I mean,
question
Crash,
about it.
End of Watch. Yeah, like he's definitely got range.
Yeah. And then finally, as far as Brad Pitt, what'd you think about him? Was it similar to his role in Inglourious Basterds, or what did you think of him?
It did come through at times. Like, I saw the Inglourious Basterds Brad Pitt every now and then. It would peek through, but I was kind of expecting that. If you're going to do a brutal war movie and then do another one in succession, it's going to leak through.
Yeah, I agree so too. But I enjoyed, obviously, the intimate moments that they had. I thought they did a good job on, you know, kind of going with some long shots, you know, and long takes, actually, not long shot, and long shots too. But long takes of them just inside the tank, and kind of like, it showed you their intimate kind of bonding, you know, it showed you when they're scared and when they're, you know, trying to put on a face of, you know, of bravery. I really kind of like that they showed that intimacy, and it wasn't just fighting nonstop, and there was some character, you know, development in those moments.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so overall, I thought it was a really good movie. Will it be an Oscar contender nominee or in any way? Possibly. I think the early reviews are somewhat negative from what I've seen, whichever ones have come out. I think Variety has been one that released a review, but
yeah.
I personally enjoyed it. I was entertained and appreciated, actually. You know, it was a little trip down, you know, history, you know, for me, but it was a good film. No question.
Sure.
Next movie that's coming out this weekend also is Birdman, starring Michael Keaton, making his long-awaited return to the big screen, and it is directed by Alejandro González Iñárritu. So maybe I said it wrong. I think it's the same guy that did the Javier Bardem movie, Beautiful. You know, remember that one? So that was a really good movie that many people didn't actually see. But wow, this movie, first thing that jumps out to me is the cast. I mean, you have Michael Keaton, Zach Galifianakis, Edward Norton, Amy Ryan, Emma Stone, and Naomi Watts. That's a strong cast.
And you know, it's I've missed Michael Keaton. Like, I've always respected him as an actor. I thought he's he might not be the greatest actor, but he's just enjoyable on screen. He's one of those.
He's entertaining. Yeah, he was. He's an entertaining actor. And it kind of surprised me that he's been gone for so long. And this is a guy that did Beetlejuice, that did
Batman,
you know, the original ones. And he's worked closely with Tim Burton, who at the time was probably the biggest director in the late 80s and or early 90s. And he just kind of fell off the face. It's not like that he stopped acting in general. He was doing a lot of indies or straight to DVD type of films, you know, and supporting characters. It's like, could this film be one that brings him back to the mainstream like The Wrestler brought back Mickey Rourke?
I think so. I think this is, for one, it seems like almost like it's overshadowing his life in a way, just with kind of paying that nod to the Tim Burton Batmans, where he's an aged character, an aged actor who was once Birdman, kind of like Michael Keaton is an aged actor that was once Batman. I mean, it's I think it's going to be a very interesting, very comical film that he personally can relate to, and we're going to see a lot of passion from him, I think.
Yeah, and I think I saw him actually on Letterman last night, and he was saying how this is almost a movie about him, you know, in general. He's definitely the focal point. You have all these strong supporting actors in this film. I mean, they're all pretty much leading people in Hollywood, but they're playing a supporting role. He's the clear focus of the film, but really, it's supposedly a very interestingly shot film that there's a lot of long takes, and it almost seems it's like a movie within a movie.
Oh, yeah, I can definitely see that.
So I really think this is going to be the early talk is that this could be a nominated film come Oscar season. And it really, to me, it stands out like this is Michael Keaton's chance to kind of get back into mainstream and resurrect his career in a way that he used to be a leading man. I think this movie could really propel him. And I think he's here to stick around.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited. I think we have two strong films coming out this weekend. It's a good weekend. Maybe with not the most, you know, publicized or popular films, but I think these are two really solid films that could be talked about for a long time.
I definitely agree. I think they're gonna be ones that are probably more sleeper hits.
Yeah, I agree. As far as box office, I don't know if they're gonna do that well, you know. Fury might, but I think what's going to stand out afterwards is the people are not going to forget about these films and kind of keep them around in the conversation. So that's something to look forward to this weekend at the box office. But speaking of looking forward to, over the past 24 hours, we heard a lot of news coming out from DC and Marvel, especially DC unveiling basically a 10-year frame of all the movies that from their DC universe are going to be coming out. And we are talking here about announced officially. We have a Flash movie that will be coming out in 2018. And it's already confirmed that they found the guy that's going to play Barry Allen. And that's going to be Ezra Miller. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I really enjoyed him in The Perks of Being a Wallflower. I thought he was great. I think he's got the very lanky runner's build for the Flash.
Mm-hmm.
My comic book fan side of me is a little bit annoyed that they're going with a dark-haired Flash, much like Bond films might have been annoyed with a Daniel Craig as a James Bond when he's always been known to have dark hair. But I'd say just because it's so early on, I'm just gonna abstain from giving an opinion.
My immediate reaction is negative. I thought, first of all, who's Ezra Miller? I had to IMDb him. He's not a name that pops out at you at all, you know, unless you kind of seen these indie films, and I'm sure Kenny's known him better than we do. Shout out. But the thing that struck me is like, okay, Barry Allen, for whatever reason, I still have Ryan Reynolds in my mind when it comes to Flash.
Yeah.
And maybe Ezra would be a good person to play Wally West, you know, a younger character, but I just don't see him as Barry Allen. The only thing I can say is that I'm not going to be too judgmental. The movie is coming out in 2018. We're 4 years away from it. I mean, he's going to grow as just an individual. You know, he's in his early 20s now, but he's going to be in his late 20s probably by the time this film comes out. And the second part is maybe it's going to give us a chance to see him in more films over the next couple of years while this is shooting and you know, production taking place. So I'm not completely going to try to judge it yet. I think it's very interesting. It's out of the box, you know, and we've seen in the comic book universe that a lot of unknowns have become major stars. One that comes to mind is Hugh Jackman, pretty much unknown when he was cast as Wolverine, one of the biggest stars now. So
sure,
I'm trying to be optimistic about it, but it's definitely an interesting choice. Not someone that you would think necessarily that would be cast as Flash. Also announced by DC, as many films they've rolled out, pretty much about 10 films they've announced, is a Green Lantern reboot along with a Cyborg solo movie coming in 2020. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it is time to get Idris Elba as the Jon Stewart Green Lantern. I think they need to stay away from Hal Jordan right now. They need to redefine the character and bring on Idris Elba, or bring on someone like Idris Elba. It's I think we need some racial diversity on the screen. I think that would be great. As far as
Cyborg, I'm thinking Cyborg, that more of Idris Elba in a way that kind of stands out, but also Idris Elba by the time it comes out 2020. I mean, we're talking about a guy that's going to be up there in age.
Well,
don't you need someone younger?
Not for Jon Stewart. That would work really well, and especially if Idris Elba like just maintains his physique and everything, which I'm sure as an actor he will. The Jon Stewart Green Lantern is known as a more militant lantern. If you've ever seen the show Luther, which was basically like a hardcore British Sherlock Holmes,
right?
That was an Idris Elba TV series, and he's absolutely phenomenal in it. I mean, it's, and he's just an underrated actor in general.
Oh, he is. He's outstanding. No question about it.
Of course, because there's been such a fan following for Idris Elba, he probably won't get it, and they'll probably say, yeah, you're too old. But that's just some wishful thinking more than anything.
Cyborg, any thoughts on that? Any ideas who you would cast?
They actually already have cast Cyborg.
Okay.
I have to see again, but it was it's like an unknown. It's Ray. I'm drawing a blank, but
I think I remember that being announced. That was really under the radar too.
Yeah,
that,
because he's a newcomer. Ray Fisher. That's what it is. Yep.
That's right. I remember that. Yeah, I think that's going to be an interesting choice. We don't know much about him, but I think that leads us to be surprised. You know, in a way that he could probably do a good job, and then that'll put him into the mainstream. But a guy that we do know a bit about, and that's having another solo, well, for his first solo movie coming out, is Jason Momoa as Aquaman, coming to you in 2018. Now, we're going to see him first in Batman vs. Superman, but what do you think about that solo film?
I've thought since the beginning that Jason Momoa fits the profile that we need for an Aquaman film. He's one that I would say venture away from the usual stereotypical look of Aquaman. He's the one where you want more of the kind of seafaring surfer rather than a fish-like merman, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's going to bring that edge to the character that has not even been associated with Aquaman in the comic books. He's never been known as like a real edgy character. He's always been somewhat laughable in the comic book verse.
Oh, Jason Momoa is a hard ass. I mean, just you look at the guy, he's legitimate. You know, that's an intimidator right there. And I think I actually do like the choice. My ideal choice would have been Chris Hemsworth, but we know he's Thor and Marvel's got him occupied. I thought he would be ideal for Aquaman, but Jason Momoa is a really good choice.
Oh yeah, I'm ready to see some Khal Drogo on screen.
That's awesome. Also being announced is Suicide Squad movie coming in 2016. So that's pretty fairly soon. We're going to see that. What are your thoughts on that? And it's also by David Ayer, who obviously is behind Fury.
Yep. I think the Suicide Squad, it's going to be it's going to be an interesting film, and I think it will probably follow suit with Fury, because it is a bunch of mercenary type people just thrown together.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna see a lot of characters that we're not used to seeing in the DC universe. I think it would be a perfect opportunity to bring in Green Arrow, Steve Amell, and actually do something totally unprecedented and incorporate him into the movies, which I know will never happen, but I figure if I say it, maybe someone out there will listen and we'll see Steve Amell in the Justice League.
Right. And that would be a good choice for this type of film. Could you see it being a hit possibly, or anywhere along the realms of Guardians of the Galaxy? You kind of have that feel, because Guardians of the Galaxy was like a, you know, third tier type of Marvel character that most mainstream people aren't aware of, and it was a major hit. Could this kind of maybe sneak itself away, you know, into the Guardians kind of mold?
I think definitely. And the reason is because the Suicide Squad, especially if they incorporate this character, but the Suicide Squad is linked to Deathstroke, which is essentially DC's Deadpool, who has a very strong following.
And Harley Quinn, we're not sure if she's going to be a part of this, is obviously a very popular Batman character.
Yeah, and I think if you include Harlequin, you're going to have to, Harley Quinn, you're going to have to include the Joker. So at least some nod to him. You can't just have her without the Joker. They go hand in hand.
That is true. But that's an interesting film to kind of take a look at, and it's going to be releasing pretty much sooner than most of these films we're talking about. And another film that's going to be coming out is also Wonder Woman. So that's a solo film Wonder Woman's going to get. What do you think about that?
I haven't liked Gal Gadot since the beginning. I'm sure she's a fine actress. She's done well in Fast and the Furious, but I almost feel like it fits to a certain image of women that we really shouldn't be following, which is this super slim
model type.
Yeah, and Gal Gadot, like Gal Gadot, she fits into that perfectly, but I would like to see someone with a build more like Gina Carano or even Ronda Rousey, but I mean, they probably don't have the acting chops that she does, but still, I'd just like to see a more built Wonder Woman.
You know, I always thought for Wonder Woman, I mean, there was a few choices. I don't know why Megan Fox always set up, but obviously her acting isn't the best, but she looks the part. And one actress that has acting chops and has been somebody is Gemma Arterton. You know who I'm talking about? The girl that was in Prince of Persia with Jake Gyllenhaal. I think she has the look, and she's proven in films that she could have pulled off that role. Obviously, in a film like Prince of Persia, I thought that was probably the most logical choice. And really,
she's got a better build for it, too.
She does. I think they missed the boat on that. I'm not sure what Zack Snyder's doing here with some of these castings. I mean, obviously he got it right on Henry Cavill, and we weren't sure who he really was when he got cast. And I think they got it right with Ben Affleck. Not sure with Gal Gadot, and not sure about Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor. Those are two kind of out-of-the-box choices that you really wouldn't foresee. But that's going to kind of make or break this all this franchise, really, of going forward. And especially now, also as one of these announced new films is Justice League. They're going to do it in two parts, part one in 2017 and part two in 2019. And it's already confirmed Zack Snyder will be directing.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense. It's it kind of gives me faith in DC. I think I've chastised DC in the past for not following the Marvel formula of doing this piecemeal approach to introducing the characters. But if they do this with Batman versus Superman, do a quick introduction of the characters, do a part one for Justice League, introduce like even more characters, have that little bit of leeway period just to do a couple solo films, and then do part two, I think it could piece together really well.
Yeah, and I like the fact, I mean, yeah, we're still a while away from that 2017 and 2019, but I like how they're doing it almost back to back. They're probably going to film there along the likes of, you know, The Hobbit, or like they consecutive, and just going to wait a year in between to release them. So I like that they're kind of doing it back to back, back in a way, not waiting another 3-4 years to do the next one. Yeah. I think it's going to help out the story and just actual actors and everyone sticking together. So that's the positive about it. I think it's somewhat along the mold of obviously the Avengers, who didn't take a long hiatus. I believe 2 years in between the first one, Age of Ultron. So I like they're really now taking the Marvel model in a way and trying to go toe to toe with them.
Yeah, and I think it's a risk, and I hope this risk pays off, because I definitely want that balance there. I want the DC fans to be appeased. I want the Marvel fans to be appeased. So I'm not rooting for one or the other. I want great films across the board.
I agree. And there's also mention that by 2020, there will be a standalone Batman and a standalone Superman movie. One thing about that is I don't like the fact that there's a standalone Superman. I think that's missing the boat years later. I mean, obviously we're introduced to Man of Steel last summer, but if you're going to wait till like 2018 to do a technical sequel to it, that's a long gap.
Yeah, it is. Especially if they're planning on using Henry Cavill.
Right. And I believe they are, since the Justice League. I could see the Batman film being after Batman versus Superman next year being a few years later, but to do a technical sequel to Man of Steel years later, I think that's kind of missing the boat.
It's going to be interesting however it plays out, but like I said, I'm hoping for the best.
Right. And news that kind of started running around earlier this week that we got to touch on is Robert Downey Jr. being in talks to join Captain America 3, which has been pretty much the precursor to them starting the whole Civil War storyline. What do you think about that? And do you think they can actually bring Civil War to screens?
I think they can. For one, I think that Robert Downey Jr. is pretty much confirmed on this. It's a $40 million deal already. So
huge.
Yeah. And while Avengers, he received a $50 million deal. I'm sure he's put something in his contract once again where he's going to get some profit sharing if Cap 3 beats the previous record that Cap 2 set. So I believe he does have that in his contract as well. Outside of that, I think Civil War is a great way to go. Especially,
it's their best storyline. I think it's their ace that in their pockets that they had. They're, you know, that's probably the most intriguing and best story they could put out on screen.
As far as including Captain America, yeah, a lot of comic book stories, including Captain America, they've been very drab, very stale. Civil War is one where it actually touches on a serious issue, a controversial issue, and I think it's a great way for Chris Evans to sign out if he wants to, because for a spoiler alert here, but if you haven't read Civil War, by the end of it, Captain America dies and Bucky takes over. So, I mean, it seems like everything fits into play here.
Yeah, I think so. I think they slowly kind of everyone, I think Robert Downey Jr. kind of wants to go away from the superhero films too. I think it'll be a great introduction to new characters and possibly new people taking over their roles in a way, like you just mentioned, Captain America going to Bucky turning into Captain America. And I think it'll be a nice transition period for a lot of these characters and the actors themselves. I think they need to run this storyline, and I think it'll be fascinating to see it on screen. Obviously, can they pull it off like they did in the comics? Probably not, because they don't have enough time to do all that and put all these things into one movie. But I think that is their ace, and if they unleash it, it's going to be huge. And finally, wanted to mention about Doctor Strange. There is a lot of rumors going around about who's going to play Doctor Strange. There's big rumors about Evan McGregor being a contender for it. And now
Ewan McGregor.
Oh, I call him Evan. Ewan McGregor. That's right. And tonight there's also news of Ryan Gosling being considered for it. Who do you think should be Doctor Strange, and who would you pick?
I'm going to stick with Benedict Cumberbatch originally, but I mean, I don't know if he's even being considered at this point anymore, but if I were to pick between Ryan Gosling and Ewan McGregor, I'd go with Ewan McGregor.
So would I. I think he has the look, too, that really he could pull it off, resembling the most Doctor Strange. I just don't see something about Ryan Gosling just doesn't fit well regarding this film in particular.
He's too pretty.
Yeah. I think so. I think you just need, and you know, McGregor's got that kind of a manly look. You know, he could be an intimidating, you know, SOB if he wants to, and no doubt he can pull it off acting wise. Also, I mean, there was some talk of Jared Leto or Ethan Hawke. I could see Ethan Hawke possibly. He just doesn't seem as intimidating look wise. I think he could film, but intimidation wise, I don't think he's that big kind of guy. Jared Leto, interesting name.
Yeah. I think Jared Leto has the acting chops for it. I think Ethan Hawke does too. I think the Ethan Hawke rumors have been pretty much squashed at this point.
Right.
But for Jared Leto, that's the same thing. He's even prettier than Ryan Gosling. I he's one of those guys that I look at and I question my sexuality. I'm like, I don't know about this. I can't look at you on screen. And
no, I mean, he does have that pretty boy thing, but credit to him. He really goes against that. You know, he's a very serious actor and he's a kind of a character actor too. He really delves into his roles. So, I mean, if it came to it, I think he can definitely pull it off. He's that type of actor that he's just good enough to do it. But yeah, just on the surface of it, something just doesn't seem, you know, that ideal for him. So but that's going to be an interesting casting, that especially since they're going with these big names, you know, that they want to fill in for that. So Marvel is right there with DC. They're battling for some top names and trying to make new stars. So it's going to be an interesting battle for the next decade that's going to be going on. And for those of you who didn't want to see any more superhero movies, well, guess what? There's more on the way and they're not going anywhere. And I think now everyone's really pretty much behind it. Every big star wants to be part of them.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So that will, on that note, that will conclude our show for this week. Thanks for joining us for the third installment of the Correct Opinion Uncut podcast. Next week, the releases are Juya, a horror movie. John Wick with Keanu Reeves is coming out next week. And those are the kind of the bigger movies for next week. Not a big movie weekend. Obviously, Halloween is going to be an interesting release day on the 31st with Nightcrawler. But next week, we will preview Juya. I'm probably saying it wrong, but it's something like that. and John Wick. So that's what you guys can expect, along with more movie news. And I'm sure there's a lot of stuff breaking daily here. So we'll have more follow-up to these DC and Marvel films. On that note, Ryan, appreciate you coming on.
Definitely.
And we will be back next week. Make sure everyone to check out themovieblog.com, read our reviews, interviews, all the articles we're posting. Fury's coming up, so that's up right now. You guys can check it out. Make sure to stick to the movie blog and this podcast. We'll be back at it next week. Thanks, everyone. See ya. Yeah.